Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha, welcome to Talking Pictures. This is our last episode for the 35th annual Vancouver International Film Festival, which we had the good fortune to be up there for and had a lot of cool interviews. Miss Emma Sams, Mr. Sandy Gao, Lainey. It was just a great time, great movies. I saw three of the coolest documentaries. One I already reviewed, Keepers of the Magic. Please go in our archive, take a look at that. There was also a great shorts program we had the good fortune to review. This was a top-notch festival. And again, as you guys know, I don't say one word I don't mean. I don't say one word anybody wants to hear. So today, we've had a strict rule where unless I'm engaged with a guest, I try to not speak personally. I always find that funny when people say don't speak personally, but who else are you going to speak like? Your friend? But these reviews, these two films hit home for me so hard and in such a tough, rough love, not hate, but dislike. Not the movie, the subject matters. You know, art, as I always say, is pretty ugly. It's in between. And we can't ever shy away from it. Now, neither of these films are ugly. They depict things that will get you thinking, which most of us don't like to do. And these films, the reason why I decided to review them together is because in a weird way, they kind of intertwine. One is a Canadian documentary, one's an American documentary. Both are very similar thematically. One is about the loss of land, culture, and its future. The other is about a time where we really did lose part of who we are as a country, and I don't think it's ever been regained in America. It's about the tradition of music, which is a tradition of land and culture as well. They were both just superbly well-told documentaries with multiple storylines, and they both involved travel and taking a look at different parts of the world that you might not have been to, whether it's a mountain way up in BC, northern BC, or it's some little dive bar down in Mississippi. Both of these documentaries kind of show you that all is one, and we got to stop the way we're treating people. We got to stop the way we're treating our land. We got to start caring for the music, the culture. I'm telling you, this could be a 3-hour conversation. I could have invited 5 guests on here and it would have just been, you know, craziness in a good way. The two films, first of all, Cone Line, Our Beautiful Land, by director Nettie Wild from BC. This was, first of all, I know just from email interactions with her that it took a great person and spirit to even make this film, to even go out there and speak for the land and people and go against corporations. I love that. I sometimes have to hide it, but I'm as subversive as it gets. I love shaking shit up. You know, this episode, if it might not be for you, I'm not going to drop F-bombs every 2 seconds, but I want you to listen. I want you to hear these reviews. But these films brought out me, filmmaker, the film reviewer, the film lover, the film buff, mainly the human. So I'm not going to candy coat some of these things that the docs took a look at. In Nettie Wild's Cone Line, Our Land Beautiful, it discussed the problems with the First Nation that they're having. I know it's all over. Down here, we call it Native Americans. Sometimes we don't know what to say because it's so PC. The reality is we don't need to tell the story of Europeans coming and stealing the land anyways. Nettie Wild's stunning magnum opus. A mining company helicopter hovers above the pristine land of the, pardon me if I pronounce this wrong, the Tahltan First Nation in northern BC, carrying a huge electric transmission tower, casting patterned shadows this conflicts between man-made geometries and nature's voice is at the film's heart. Marking a total departure from her earlier documentaries, Wild creates a balance profile that's free of polemics and a feast for the eyes, subtle, beautiful, and remarkably even-handed. That's a quote from the Global and Mail. Pardon me, that's probably a Canadian publication. And like I always say, we learn something new every day, so I'm not being a lazy host that I didn't know what that is. Yeah, it won the Best Canadian Feature Docs at Hot Docs, which that is a big deal because Hot Docs is a major festival. Now, I can definitely get into this. This is obviously a well-made documentary. The cinematographer is just deserves some kind of cinematography award, or I hope it comes down the pike. But this film was not made for awards, and film is not about awards. Of course, being from Hawaii myself, the mining to what's going on in BC is hotels being put up in Hawaii. I relate to this because a field that I spent a lot of years growing up across from, and we used to joke that it was one of the last fields left on that side of the island. I heard that it's recently being turned into a Hyatt, and this was a place where we'd camp, we'd hang out. Now, maybe this isn't comparable to culture, loss of life, but to us, it was our culture. It was our way to hang out and be with friends and go to the beach and look at the stars. And we were too young to know it, but we were being one with the earth. And Nettie's film really hit me because hearing her subjects talk was making me think, wow, this was really a time where I was just being in touch with the grass and the trees and the spirits of myself and my friends. And it wasn't about the beer drinking. It was about the just being one with that beautiful ocean. It was this place where on all three sides of you, there was nothing but hotels, but it was this one place where you could just be with the ocean. And that brings up another thing that ties into the other doc we're going to review of the future and where is the future headed. The thing with Hawaii, there's only so much room left on the island. Northern BC, my gosh, the mountains that I saw up there, I'd have my tea time, I would sit and stare at this mountain for an hour. Nothing would change about the mountain, maybe the clouds, maybe the sun, but I just fell in love with it. And it was Nettie's film that opened that up for me. And I thought, I got to take a couple of weeks before I review this. And then I got to really figure out how I'm not going to make this myself, because I think the sign of a great film is when it gets inside of you. And it doesn't just make you say that you should, someone else should see it. It doesn't just make you talk about it. It has some kind of effect that you, in some ways, don't remember how you viewed certain things before you saw it. So I'm still processing, as I now hit a point where the review had to come out of me. I'm still enjoying what this film has given me. And unfortunately, due to a personal injury I had, I was not able to meet this director who I know is a wonderful human being, who just is a caring spirit. And I really hope that I get to meet her someday when I'm back in BC, or that our paths in some way cross. We're behind this film. It's called Cone Line, Our Beautiful Land. And I highly suggest it. If it plays anywhere within a couple hours from you, see it, please write this down. I know I've told you so many times to write stuff down. This is a write it down. This crosses the whole, you know, something we talked about, America, we're America. Well, you know, Canada is North America. So we're actually part of a continent. We're not America. We are part of the continent is the United States of America. But this documentary showed you that all is one, the animals, the fish, the people, And before I start getting very upset about what they're doing there and what they're doing to Hawaii and take this in a direction it doesn't need to go, because I'm respecting the Vancouver National Film Festival, I'm going to jump into two trains running, 5 stars, 10 out of 10, 2 thumbs up, whatever all the critic cliches that are out there. I call myself a filmmaker who reviews films. There's no reason to criticize. So good job, Nettie. And again, I really hope to meet you down the road. Have to send a big thank you to Rhiannon, who set this up. And of course, Leanna, the PR was fantastic at Vancouver. That's why I thank them every time, because just they're deserving of it. And my grandma used to always say, the easiest thing to do is say thank you, but so few of us do it anymore. The next film was titled Two Trains Running, and it was narrated and executive produced by Common, whose name is Rashad Lonnie Lynn. For those of you who don't know him, through his hip-hop, a few years ago, he won an Oscar for writing that beautiful song, Glory, for the film Selma. Again, at this show, we're not into celebrities. We respect the heck out of talent. On November 6th, which is just a week away from now, the writer-producer, Ben Heidman, we're scheduling to get him on. We're just figuring out those final logistics. And we're going to really dive into this civil rights blues talk. I was very thankful for this, first of all, because I love blues. I love the blues so much. I once had somebody that I was seeing bar me from listening to the blues a couple days a week. And it was great because I saw a friend of mine in this named Jimbo. And I had worked with Jimbo. And Jimbo is such about the root, and he's such a people person. So I had realized that the moment I saw someone I knew talking about the bigger picture, that that's why this had to go along with Code Line and Nettie's film, because it was breaking it down to, we are all just people. It doesn't matter where we're from. And you know, culture, yes, we have to respect our culture. We have to cherish our culture and keep it going. But I like to say the main culture of the world is being a human. And so if we don't respect that, then we're going to lose, because of other people, our culture. So, you know, for me, the blues is my culture. It's a music that my grandmother passed down to me. It comes from an area that my father was born in, kind of a melting pot of there, where jazz came from Kansas City and Texas, and blues came up from Mississippi and Memphis, and melted in St. Louis and then headed up to Chicago. I could talk about this all day to myself. So that's why I'm looking forward to getting Ben on. Now, this film was pretty crazy because it talked about the Civil Rights Act, which I have such a hard time discussing. I'm not going to get into it until Ben's on air. But what happened was, and this was the Canadian premiere, and then it went on to play the Lincoln Center, and Ben will share any further info with you. Again, there's a lot of musicians in this that are known. If you haven't heard of them or haven't seen them, get out and see them. Especially Buddy Guy. He is one of the last living treasures. Him and B.B. King were the guys that were up there. Buddy, I think, is almost 80. Mr. Guy is so genuine. Have seen him. If you see him, your life will change. You will not be the same. So I was very happy that he was in this. So Two Trains Running, it actually had 3 screenings. So that kind of leads me to believe they wanted to have 4 or 5, but they just couldn't do it. And the producer, writer producer Ben, was kind enough to come up and do a great Q&A and discuss things, because I was watching this with a Canadian audience. So for me, it was kind of weird because I was thinking, how many people in this audience know the stupidity of our civil rights era? I mean, I'm not saying condescending, like I know and they don't, but the real stuff. just the stuff that makes you ashamed to even know that your country did it. And people say don't politicize it. It's not political. It's humanity. I'm always going to stand by that. So two trains running. I remember I was looking at this the program, and I saw Buddy Guy. I said, I don't care if it's about Buddy Guy cooking frog legs. I'm going to watch it. So I was so thankful that I went and saw this and got to come bring my friend along and his wife, and it was just a wonderful night. So Canadian premiere, two trains running, which is also a mention to, there's a lot of blues songs that involve trains because that's how bluesmen would travel. And two trains running, I believe, is one of the last tracks on the Paul Butterfield Blues Band East West. You don't know that record, check it out. Oh, it will blow your mind. It's just a craziness to the max. Okay, so only the brave or foolish ventured into Mississippi in the summer of 1964. And yet, as the civil movement came to a boil, two groups of music enthusiasts from opposite coasts, one with John Fahey in tow, converged there to search for long-forgotten bluesmen like Sunhouse, who you can actually hear when you listen to AC/DC. That shows you how deep Sunhouse is. You wouldn't believe that tale if it were fiction. When Samuel Pollard's rousing documentary, narrated by Common and featuring music by Gary Clark Jr., who I have not seen yet and I'm dying to see. He is awesome. You got to see him. Man, video just rips it up. Lucinda Williams and other... And they kind of tie in at the end, Black Lives Matters and Ferguson. But what I liked was that they tied that in to show what changed, but they didn't hit you over the head with it. You know, they discussed and went into some of Lyndon Johnson's baloney, but they never hit you over the head with anything. That's what made this doc so good, was they said, here's the blues, here's the civil rights thing. There's an incredible surprise in the movie that I'm not remotely going to mention or spoil. Ben might explain it. This is an incredibly well-made documentary because it also featured, of course, Common has narrator and executive producer, Buddy Guy, the North Mississippi All-Stars. Those guys play with my buddy Jimbo. Often I see them touring. And Dudley, who I need to look up who that is. Please do not rush to this because Common, do not rush to this because famous musicians, this is a brilliant doc. And like I said with Nettie's film, this movie makes you understand that a music was dying, that Sunhouse influenced the next guys like Muddy Waters, and Muddy Waters influenced the Rolling Stones. I'm not being condescending here, but if you don't know, the Rolling Stones are actually named after a Muddy Waters song. So it showed this great lineage that, again, is like there's this great opening line. It's not ruining the film in Nettie's film where the guy says, if we don't know our language on our land, we might as well be fucking tourists. So if you're in America and you don't know American music, or you think that Justin Bieber or Kanye West came up with that beat, that once you hear some Sunhouse or some Muddy or some Wolf or some Buddy Guy and you get, that's where hip-hop came from. That's where the stuff that we are flipping out over came from. Then it's just an odyssey. I mean, the blues, once you hear the blues, there's no turning back. So I wanted to just say this was just like that. So this was an absolutely brilliant doc. It was in a three-way tie for my favorite thing that I saw at the festival. The other one was about cinematographers, Keepers of the Magic. Please go in the archives and check it out. I could not have picked or imagined three better films that I would see in what I call my second hometown, just enjoying everything. It was just a perfect moment, and these films added to it. Jimbo Mathis, who is not listed here, check him out anytime. He was one of the founders of that big group in the 90s, the Squirrel Nut Zippers. does tons of his own shows. What I love about Jimbo, everybody he sees at a show, he remembers you. He remembers your name. I've heard people say, I saw you 4 years ago, and he remembers that person and remembers that night. And Jimbo is just a really caring individual. And it was just exciting for me to see him on the big screen because I know what a cool cat he is. And he's a big spiritual guy. And so to have his spirit in there, and he lives down in the Delta. I shouldn't have said that. That's private information. Sorry. It is known. You can see on his website. I apologize to Jimbo if he hears this. My apologies. But that's the deal. So pay attention to culture. Pay attention to land. Respect others. Respect the music. Respect tradition. I'm not on my high horse here. I'm just saying these are all things that are threatening our country. I'm not even going to get into the election. That are threatening our world is that we're losing care for these things. And you might want to say, you know what? A mountain is way more important than Buddy Guy songs. It's not, because the music of Buddy Guy tells you about a time that we can't live anymore, and how that mountain still is tells you about how the world was, however long ago you want to say, and how it's altered. So we need to start understanding that we're all one, including the animals, including blues, and all that good stuff. There's so much more I could say, but I don't want to just exhaust your eardrums to hear myself talk. So remember, November 6th, we're doing everything we can to finalize having Ben on here, the wonderful writer, producer. And if you like the blues, you had to know so much to make this film. You are going to be in for a treat. And you're going to be in for a wonderful time, because this guy was humble. He didn't have any kind of attitude or any kind of commons, my producer, or I was recording Buddy Guy or whatever. These are just down-to-earth guys that get it. Again, this entire review, no snobbery, just sharing my love. As always, whether you're listening to this in morning, afternoon, or night, make sure and watch a good movie. Take care, aloha, and most of all, peace to everyone. We sure need it.